It's Wednesday, January 29th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 329 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 44 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Julia.
My name's Chad.
This is Wayne.
Three announcements. Nearly back to back. Number one, Fear the Con. Actually, we got two related to Fear the Con. Casey, the guy that does all the game sales, book sales and such at the convention, he has put up a thread in the forum. If you're coming to Fear the Con and there is a product that you would like to buy or something that you'd like to look at.
Cocaine.
Yes, such as a crystal rail of blow off of a tie hooker. Post in that thread and ask Casey for that. I'm sure he's...
I recommend you send him a PM for that one. If that's what you're requesting.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's on drive-thru. I'm sure it's like drive-thru blow or something that he can get it off of. So anyway, if you have a game request or something that you'd like to buy while you're at the con or whatnot, please get on that thread. Let him know. Also related to the convention, we are doing the Fear the Fruit charity again this year. Manai is being very kind and heading that up. So we are going to be providing free healthy snacks to the gamers that are present. And then anything that is left over, and every year we have lots of food left over, will be taken to someplace like a homeless shelter or some local charity. So if you are interested in backing Fear the Fruit, and this is something you can do even if you're not at the con, there's a good chance the fruit that you are helping buy will end up with a charity. So I'll post a link to that in the show notes. This is something you get out and donate to. Last thing, Chad, I'll go ahead and kick this one over to you because this is something that you've been doing.
On the forums, we were having a discussion about, I think it was about cars. And we have a lot of car guys on our forums. We were asking questions and that sort of thing. And one of our forum users, Goat Unit, was like, basically, we should have a whole thread dedicated to this, our whole forum dedicated to this. And it got me thinking about AMAs. Now, what an AMA is, there's a site called Reddit. Some of you may have heard of this site. It's very famous and popular on the internet. And they have AMAs, which stands for Ask Me Anything. They also have IAMAs, which is I Am A. And so basically, you say, I am a famous movie director. And someone like Martin Scorsese will get on there. I am a famous movie director. Ask me anything.
Right.
They don't just do famous people, though. They do experts and or people who have weird stories. I am a person who has worked as a fast food manager for the past 13 years. Ask me anything. Somebody has probably a lot of really weird, crazy stories with that. I had the thoughts like, man, we have a really diverse fan base. And especially on the forums, we have people who have done a lot of things, seen a lot of things, have worked a lot of strange and interesting jobs, things that these people just consider normal everyday life, but to us is like really crazy and awesome. And so I was thinking, it's like, man, we should do a Fear the Boot AMA where we take listeners and forumites, they volunteer in one thread where they say, I am a, and then they list different things. Like I put down, I volunteered myself. I am a podcaster and I am an IT guy. I am an award-winning author and I am, you know, this and that and this and that. And other people
just give awards to anybody these days.
I know.
Boy, do they. I mean, seriously. Anyway, and people have really stepped up to the plate, have volunteered. It's like I am and all this crazy, weird, interesting stuff that people have done or that they do or that they can talk about. What I do is once every 2 weeks on Monday, which I should have picked one today, but I got really busy at work and I didn't. So I'm going to try and do that when I get home, is I pick one or two people. And I pick a topic, and this is something that they are subject matter experts in, that they have volunteered for. We've done two so far. The first one was Ask Me Anything About DIY, which is Ask Me Anything About Do-It-Yourself. And we had two people who are makers, and they really do a lot of do-it-yourself stuff. One does more electronic-type stuff, and another one does more mechanical stuff, but they both cross over. And it was fascinating. I mean, people were asking them a lot of really interesting questions, talking about the work that they do, why they do it, how they got into it, the tools they use, suggestions for projects. Second one we did was I am a teacher, ask me anything. And we had one person who is currently a high school teacher and another one who is a former teacher. And we asked them anything. Why did you get into the profession? What are the biggest frustrations with the profession? What do you think about the, you know, testing standards in this? It's like, I have a kid in school. How can I be a better parent in dealing with this teacher and that sort of thing? How do I not be that parent? And like I said, this is something that I want to run once every 2 weeks. You can go to the forums.
I'll put a link to it.
Yeah, you put a link to it and stuff. And right now, we're putting a call out.
So if you are a subject matter expert, or if you're simply interested in asking a subject matter expert something,
or you have some really interesting life experience that kind of stretches beyond, hey, I was in a bank robbery, I was really afraid, and then it was over, and that's the end of my story. You know, if you've done something interesting,
like you were a bank robber,
I actually used
to hang out with a guy
who
was a career meth runner.
Yeah.
And he ended up going to jail. And he had a lot of very interesting stories. He spent, I think it was about 8 years in jail.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of very interesting stories about what it was like to run meth, what it was like in the drug trade, and what it was like to be in jail.
Ask him if he's interested. I will put
I don't know if I still have his contact information. Oh, okay. But if I can dig it up, he would be an interesting one to talk to. Because I tell you, he really did change a lot of the preconceptions that I had, both about the kinds of people that do that sort of thing and what life is actually like. I mean, forget what you see on HBO. Oh, what life is actually like behind bars is nothing like what you see in entertainment. Right. And it was really interesting to hear.
If you've never been onto our forums, we also have a no religions, no politics rule. I also want to get into some of the more controversial subjects, too. You know, it's like I am a member of this this fringe religion or this non-standard religion. Ask me anything. I am part of this political organization. Ask me anything. And not to get into a religious debate. It's something that we want to get into later.
Let me kind of pitch something out there to maybe context that one a little bit, because of the fact that when you first mentioned the idea of the AMAs, well, you actually just kind of went there and did it.
You
did come back to me later and say you were contemplating controversial subjects like religion and politics.
Right.
And I really had to mull over, how do I deal with that? Do I just shut this idea down now and say, no, we're not going to deal with this? Do I let it go until it becomes a problem, which by that point you can't get the pee out of the pool?
Absolutely.
What we had originally contemplated as the topic for this episode, we may yet do, is experiences in our lives that have shaped how we perceive the world and how we tell stories. And we may still yet do that, but the particular hosts I have with me right now were not the ones that expressed interest in that subject, so I'm going to put it on hold. But one of the things that I had thought about when I was putting my list together is there are a lot of things about people of very different lifestyles and worldviews than mine that I have learned from doing this podcast, because somebody will come to me and say, hey, I'm this, this, and this, which is radically different than what I am. But instead of attacking the person or really even debating them, I just have a dialogue with them.
Yeah.
A great example of this would be some years back, and bear with us, I promise we're going to wrap this up here in a second and get to a role-playing topic. But some years back, when Fear the Boot was a relatively new podcast, we made some gay slurs. And I have to give props. I don't remember the person's name. I wish I did, but I have to give props to this individual, because somebody wrote into me and was not hostile, was not angry, wrote in very reasonably and very conversationally and said, hey, I want you to understand this hurts me and people in my situation, and here's why. And it was a learning opportunity for me. You know, it kind of changed my view on it. And the way that I later explained this in PMs to someone was I said that I see two types of statements. You can make a statement such as, I am a Scientologist, ask me anything. Okay, put the ask me anything on one side. I'm a Scientologist.
Yeah.
You make that statement, people can come and say, okay, what is it really like being in that religion, whatever, without actually coming in and making a value judgment on it. And similarly, that person does not make a value judgment. They do not say, I'm a Scientologist and all of you are suppressive people or whatever. You know, I am a Sunday school teacher and all of you are on a roller skate to hell. Ask me anything. And we're going to have to come up with some rules to kind of frame these. And I think we're going to have to shepherd some of the controversial ones real carefully. But anyway, link to that will be in the show notes.
Please come by, lurk, ask questions, or if you have the availability.
And if you're kind of wondering, you know, what is the relevance of this apart from just its community value? I believe it has a value within role-playing games because of the fact that really what role-playing games are about is exploring situations which you try to describe in the form of narrative and rules. And all the narrative and rules of a role-playing game is describing these experiences of living in other cultures, engaging in these kinds of combat or going into space or whatever. And the more that you know about that, it may change the way that you deal with those subjects. Yeah. Wayne, let's get to the gaming subject here. This was your idea, so I will let you kick it off.
So what got me thinking about the topic we're going to hit was something that happened in game. So our current game right now, Beth is running, and we're playing a Pathfinder game. And we reach a moment where we get this ring, and we do an identify and find out that it is a Ring of Wish with no charges left. I've never experienced a Ring of Wish in game, but I've heard enough stories about it that I might as well have my own baggage to bring on board.
The topic that we want to talk about is baggage that players bring, or game masters, bring to the table from their prior gaming experiences, which impact the games that they play in.
And that's why this hits so strong, because Sarah, sitting next to me, has never heard of a Ring of Wish. She has no context whatsoever.
She's a very, very new player to role-playing in general.
Me, as the wizard, all this whole time, I thought, I'm going to find some way to break this spell, and we're going to get out. You drop the Ring of Wish is what caused it, and suddenly, I don't know what to do. I can't bring a Ring of Wish.
Ring of Wish had one charge. The little boy used that one charge because basically Satan conned him into screwing over everybody in town by giving him exactly what he wanted in a way that basically killed everybody. Yeah. It would kill everyone. Everyone starved to death.
Those words, it's a Ring of Wish with no charges left.
Yeah.
That, because of I knew what a Ring of Wish was, that floored me.
Yeah.
That floored Pat. Yeah. I saw Chad's reaction. Sarah's like, can't we just recharge it? Because she has no idea.
She doesn't know, so she's not bringing any baggage. Well, but
let's talk about no baggage to bring.
The shock value of Ring of Wishes, and then I want to move to some other examples. But the shock value of the Ring of Wishes, and I think this is where double baggage comes in, because the baggage the game master has is probably at some point in their career, they gave a Ring of Wishes or a wish device or some similarly powerful item, depending on, I mean, you could do this in sci-fi as well. It wouldn't be wishes, it'd be something else. But you give some powerful item to the party and you expect them to be mature adults with it, and they're not. They abuse the crap out of it. So in the case of Ring of Wishes, you as a game master, and I'm telling you this one from experience, you start coming up with ways of dealing with that. Like, fine, you want to wish for 20,000 gold pieces? Great. They're going to appear in the air about 100 feet above your head, fall straight on you, and that's going to be the end of your character. You say, okay, I want them in my hand. Well, guess where they are? They are in your hand. Hope you know you a good doctor.
Gross.
And that was funny. As we started to talk about the Ring of Wish,
you name a wish, I can destroy you.
Well, and that was the thing. Sarah sitting next to us, we were making this comment about there's no good wish.
Yeah.
Nothing you do, no matter how much you rules lawyer it, you're not going to get it. And Sarah's like, you have to be able to come up with something. It's like, no, you will never be able to figure it out.
So players, as a result, if they've been under that game master, when you see a Ring of Wish, you put that thing into a slingshot and send it in orbit. Yeah. You never want to see the thing again.
The conversation gave me a shirt idea that I gave to John. The shirt idea for John is, I'm not a rules lawyer, I'm a lawyer that rules.
I'm actually thinking our next shirt for Fear of the Boot is probably going to be, you don't understand the amount of I get.
All right. So, and we're going to buy Chris a copy of that shirt.
Another example of that, part of the reason that I have such an issue with character death is because of the fact.
Depth or death?
Death. D-E-A-T-H. Gotcha. Death. Not inflicting it, but having it inflicted upon me is because what John said in the episode that you guys recorded that I wasn't on is absolutely correct. He is the first game master to kill a character of mine without openly cheating. As a result, I have this really strong resistance. If somebody starts coming after my character in a way that's above and beyond what's the normal combat encounter of the game, or I start to sense that a game master is getting too close to one of their NPCs or moving from an NPC to a GMPC or something, I start to get really rankled because I, as a player, have been screwed way too many times by that. And so this is baggage that I bring to the table.
Well, what's great for me is I'm the opposite end of the spectrum. The only person that has ever killed one of my characters was you.
Yes.
You did it above board. It was a hell of a role for it to happen.
It was very unlikely.
It was a character that I had grown to hate anyway, and I wanted a different character. So the whole thing was this hugely positive experience for me that led to this great role playing around the table. So when I think of character death, the baggage I bring now is, it can be awesome.
Yeah, it could be a good thing.
Well, and this is where I think gaming baggage has had maybe a positive impact on me. I guess if we're to take this to a little bit of a darker place, think of it kind of like any other form of abuse in life. when you suffer abuse in life, generally speaking, you're going to respond one of two ways. You're either going to see to it you are never that person, mm-hmm. or you're going to continue the cycle of abuse.
Yeah.
And in this case, I have been so burned by GM PCs that if I throw out the big bad and you guys clap his ass in one round and I did not see this coming, I'm like, huh, you did that. Okay, let's move on. And that was why Wayne, because I have been jacked in that regard so many times with character death, that when that mech, once again, all above table rolls.
Yeah.
But when it happened, I still said, are you okay with this? I still wanted your sign off on that character dying before I made it a thing. And we're going to talk more about character in the future episode because John wants to brawl Chad and I about something. But the point being that in that case, the baggage actually had a positive effect because of the fact you now don't have that trauma. It was not like you were about to kill my GM PC, mega badass mech warrior. And so just to keep that from happening, I roll my dice behind my GM screen like, oh, look at that. Gauss rifle to the head. You're dead in your seat. Magic how that happened. All the dice were turn. Rue GM screen boxcars. Didn't see that coming.
GM screens.
Yeah. The enablers of cheating.
No, my mech got its head kicked in and I was still sitting at it.
That'll kill you.
Yes, that will. And then the pilot rolled a head hit, which is a 1 in 36 chance on 2d6.
Yeah, I don't play Mech Warrior, so.
He rolled a chance of criticals, which is an 8 plus on 2d6. I don't know how that memorized off my head. And then he rolled, got one critical, and then he had a 1 in 6 chance of kicking the pilot seat, and ooh, that's what he kicked.
I will say, Dan, too, that you tell people before they do things. In the similar game, I had, for various story reasons, I had left my mech in the middle of the battle, and I was running on foot across the field while these gigantic death machines were firing all this live ammunition right at each other and going crazy. And you had told me, it's just like, are you sure you want to do this? Just so, I don't remember your exact words, but something like, just so you know, if you do this, I'm not saying don't do it, but if you do this,
right,
your character's going to get killed. I mean,
you're harder to spot. You're a lot harder to hit than a mech. Yeah. But if a mech takes an interest in you and does land a vehicle grade weapon on you, there is. We really probably don't even need to roll the dice. You're just dead. That's it. I mean, there's no getting around that.
And that's cool. That's great. And I do appreciate that. Although I'm the kind of person, because I think back to like Skies of Glass, because we've been talking about Skies of Glass lately, because Dan, you're running that
actual play
because with it.
Because it is one of the most awesome settings ever.
It is.
It's my favorite side note on that. Some people have asked when that actual play will be ready.
Never.
We're right now working with the guys and gals from Master Geek Theater. We're putting together the site and feed. It will come soon, but it's going to be a little bit yet. But,
soon, yeah. 2020, 2025.
Yeah, Chad episode has known 100 me for, soon.
Okay. Yes.
Chad has known me for a long time, and he can verify that I don't suck up to anyone.
No.
Dan, Skies of Glass is the best setting I have ever played.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It is my favorite.
I haven't played in it yet.
We need to change that.
I know.
Because it's quite good.
Good.
So, less kissing Dan's ass. More kissing my ass, but
your award-winning ass.
My award-winning ass. That's right. That's why you need to type up Skies of Glass, so we could have our collective award-winning asses.
And then you could kiss each other's asses.
Oh, my God.
And then you can make some sort of weird porn out of it.
I've been waiting 35 years to kiss Dan's butt.
Two game writers, one any.
Aw, yeah. So, anyway, steering the derailed train back onto the fiery tracks of horrible fan fiction.
You don't know the amount of award this fan gets.
Because actually, this all jokes aside, that actually does lead into another point of baggage I bring to the table. But
fanfic is horrible?
No, it's romance, sexuality, and people playing characters of the other gender. I'm not against it, but I've seen it abused so many times
that
it took years. It took years for me to warm up to the idea, to the point I would even entertain it, because I saw it done so abusively and so insultingly
because
so many times.
When we saw it done, we were teenagers or very early 20s. Not exactly the most sexually sophisticated time in people's lives.
Or socially sophisticated, to be blunt. I mean, it's was not there. And it was done so poorly and so insultingly that our group had a ban on it for a long time. I mean, it really took us some time to come around to, we're going to allow this. That was another bit of baggage that I brought to the table.
And it was
several of us brought to the table.
I brought it for a long, long time.
It's one of those things where even I have that baggage of, I immediately think this is a bad idea, but I played with someone who was a new gamer who played a female character, and he did a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. It just blew me away that he was doing such a great job playing a female character. And I realized he's a new gamer. He never saw any of this horrible game.
Yeah,
he's never heard any of the stories. He doesn't know.
Skewed.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that the sexuality thing, it can be done in a decent way. Mm-hmm. I don't know, our group, we didn't touch it for a long time. We had one person who wouldn't allow it. And then as soon as he was gone, it was like, we were worried about how bad the game was going to be because now this player that put the fan on
are open.
I mean, a few times I've said something awful on the show that you guys have heard. We are a very crazy group. And so we were really worried. And it actually was really tame. So we were surprised.
I said, in the end, it's just sex. I mean, you don't get into gory detail with it unless the game warrants that.
Yeah, I just realized something, Chad. Hmm. Out of all of the games I've played, the only ones where I've flirted with an NPC and actually tried to do a relationship were games you were running.
That's right.
I apparently like flirting with you when you're the GM.
I'm a handsome.
And I never realized that.
I am a handsome, award-winning man.
He's award-winningly handsome.
Oh, that's right. Well, and really, that comes from, again, pull it back to the baggage issue. We went through these early, awkward teenage games where we had a couple of players who were just really off the ranch with the whole sexuality, like guys playing women in a really sexist, horrible, like beyond political incorrectness. Just like, you've never actually touched a female before, have you? Sort of like creepiness. Yeah. And coming back into that, we started gaming with Pat and some other people, and Pat obviously has no problem with sexuality whatsoever. And you were talking about how in stories and such, you really need a relationship component and a romance component because that's very natural for you. And that's what you like. And that's cool. Because I was running so many games, pressure from the group over the years was like, okay, Chad, you need to get over this because this is you. And it's just like, okay, you're right. And I started loosening up, and I'm like, and after a while I realized, you know, we're not teenagers anymore. We're adults. We can handle this.
Well, and one thing I'd always, I've heard all these stories about couples in gaming and all. I've noticed that in our group, we have now three married couples, and none of us before this game that I can remember ever made characters that had a relationship with their significant other. It may start to develop during the course of gameplay.
I have seen that in the past. In
games. So here's how it plays out. You and Sarah usually are fine with each other, and now you're doing a married relationship. Pat and Beth. Pat falls for one NPC, Beth falls for an opposite NPC,
And
then they come together, usually in jealousy and rage, which is much like their marriage, but kidding. And then Dawn isn't comfortable linking her character with other people's characters. She will make a menagerie of NPCs that she is linked to and has all this stuff, and you can plug in through one of her NPCs, but she just doesn't really like having a really solid direct link with any other PC.
And you tend to make the loner.
Actually, the most recent time I had a character who had a quote-unquote romantic relationship was Gnarl, and in that game, we've talked about this before, Gnarl was the one I was primarily playing, but there was a handful of gnolls that I would kind of flip between. And Gnarl's chosen mate was obviously a female gnoll. But the thing is, it's a very different kind of relationship because these are dog people.
Yeah.
And so they're loyal to each other. They have like this extreme form of friendship, this really fierce friendship. But in terms of sexuality, they rut in the spring when they're in estrus, and that's it.
Yeah, they don't have romance.
Yeah, they don't per se have romances, and they don't really have sex for pleasure.
They go into heat.
They go into heat. They do what needs to be done. And if you've ever watched dogs do it, it's over pretty quickly. And that was it. Gnarl had pups, and that was never really developed. In fact, the only other player character that even saw them was he took Saren down into the where they were hiding the pups.
Yeah.
And he showed them the pups that were hidden down there. But that was the most recent character I can think of that had a romance. Actually, the only character I can think of before that that ever had any kind of in-game romance, because I didn't want it to be an issue in the game. Because once again, I've seen this done a couple of ways. Either it was done immaturely. It was done between a couple And the immaturity was not in-game, it was out-of-game.
Mm-hmm.
They were too new to their relationship, they were too mm-hmm. starry-eyed, it just got ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was way beyond in-character.
Or girlfriend the hostage.
And oh, so... Geez.
I've had NPCs used against
Well, that's me. The other thing, is or the person you're in a romance with, that romance becomes a weapon for the game master to use against you. And so as a result, racking my brain, thinking through over two decades of gaming, I believe all of the character romances I've had have only been with secondary PCs of my own. That I'm playing a character and like I took a perk that gave me a follower, a retainer, or something like that. Or there's another PC that I don't run all the time, but run on and off. That's somewhere back off on another planet or in another land or whatever. And that's where the romance is. I cannot think of a single time I've ever had a character that was romantically linked to another player character. Yeah, I cannot think of one.
Brand new to me. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been fascinating. In this last game session, for example, there was a scene where my character says something. I'm talking to an NPC. I'm kind of looking out for the NPC after a door has been busted in. But it comes out like I'm flirting with her. Wasn't my intention as a player to make my character come off like that. But everyone else keys into it. And Sarah's sitting next to me, and she knows me as a person well enough to know that wasn't what I was trying to do. But she gets a kick out of all of the other players keying in on that. So her character got jealous. And we had a little jealousy moment of it that was purely in character, unlike when Beth gets jealous out of character of NPCs.
Which is always fun to agitate her with.
And it was just one of those little character depth moments that was really cool for me, actually, that I've never had in a game.
I do take that back. It has happened once. There was a Star Wars game I was playing in. And actually, there were two different NPCs that were in love with my character. And I actually wanted to develop that whole situation, but the game fizzled and died before it happened. But that was the only time I can think of. All right, but let's kind of zoom this back to baggage in general rather than just focusing on romance. So we have all these things about baggage and role-playing games. Another one that comes up all the time is torture. Interrogation.
Yes.
Because look, okay, I get it. Your character wants to interrogate somebody. Now, interrogation does not have to be violent. Interrogation literally just means to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can be done sternly, it can be done manipulatively, or it can be done violently. Okay, there's many kinds of interrogation. But we have seen that go so pointlessly and graphically far that within our games, it's really gotten to the point that we don't do them. When we do them, the most I will typically allow as a game master, I'll say, okay, you're going to screw with this person. Maybe it's violent. Maybe it's psychological. Maybe you're just asking them a lot of questions. I don't give a damn. Let's just roll the opposed dice and I'll tell you what, if anything, you got. If you tell me you were being violent, fine. You have a wrecked corpse on the floor. If you tell me you were asking them questions and just trying to play mind games with them, then you lost the mind games and they didn't tell you what you wanted to know, but they're otherwise fine. We're not going to get into any detail. It's just we're going to roll dice and move on with the game.
This is one that hits me. I bring this baggage to the table, too. And when I'm running a game, not when I'm playing it, when I'm running a game and they've caught my NPC, I tend to have it basically sing more than it should. It just starts talking.
To avoid that situation completely?
And it preempt the torture.
And unfortunately, it messes with my internal consistency with the character at that point, because why would the character tell so much? Well, I want them to get the information, and I want them to have it, but I don't want it to be just given out that easily, but I also don't want it to get into the torture. And it's like
party conflict's another one for me. This is why I'm so big against outside of con games where I don't really care. But in a campaign that I intend to stick with, PC on PC violence, not disagreement. We can all agree, I think, that social.
And I punched Wayne's character in the balls. It was a great scene.
You didn't punch, you grabbed and squeezed.
That's right.
Actually, in my current Skies of Glass game, I tell you, there are certain things about this game that just universally occur regardless of who's playing it. So far, what violence has occurred, there have been three instances. Two of them have been people within the party punching someone else within the party.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it has to happen. It's the easiest way to deal with
party conflict.
It was
punching, not shooting, but the point is,
that
anything
was
beyond minor, like, we're going to have a slap fight, anything that goes beyond that, I have a lot of baggage towards because of the fact that, Chad, you know, there were years that you and I played with that group that we had from high school.
Yeah.
And we had a style of role-playing that had a lot of realism in game balance, had sophistication in the plots, but had no sophistication in the characters.
Absolutely.
We then started gaming with another group mm-hmm. that had the reverse situation.
Mere
shallow plots,
yeah.
No game balance, but the characters and role-playing were very, very deep.
Yes.
But the problem that I had with that group was that group loved infighting. To the point yeah. of, we will steal your stuff, we will kill you in your sleep, nothing was sacred. Mm-hmm. And I found that I was spending almost every moment of every game trying to figure out how to protect myself from the rest of the party, never mind the plot or the mm-hmm. bad guys, that I developed this real revulsion towards in-party conflict.
Well, and with that group, too, it wasn't like a PvP, I'm better than you, I'm going to get you sort of thing. It's because of the plots were soap operas.
Yeah, they had nothing else to do.
Yeah, they were total soap operas.
It did. At points also to get, it struck me as being almost pointlessly sadistic. I don't say getting off on it, but
I think some
enjoying
of them
were. It.
Yeah, I mean, maybe getting off on it is the true mm-hmm. thing. All right, so let's look at this from another direction. We've given some examples of baggage in games. Let me go back to something that I said a little bit earlier, and I want to see if you guys agree with it.
No, disagree. Move
okay.
on.
Well, it's good. Let's hear you defend it. I think baggage is not necessarily always a bad thing.
No, I don't.
No,
because I
at
think
all.
Torture's horrible, and I never want to hear about it.
It is what you do with the baggage you bring that determines mm-hmm. if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Right.
Let's go back to the Ring of Wish. I had years where I got burned by it as a GM. Then I turned around and started burning my players. We had that cycle of abuse. I was kicking the dog, or the dog was biting me, so I started kicking the dog. So the dog started biting me, whatever. Mm-hmm. And
the dog of Wish.
But what finally came out of that was there was a game where when we were more mature individuals, they got a hold of a Ring of Wish that had like one wish on it. And I paused the game and said, Game Master to players, out of character conversation here, I am making you the promise, if you make a wish that is reasonable, I will not screw with you no matter how poorly phrased your wish is.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you try to jack me over, I will find something in your wording to use the letter of the law against the spirit of the law. But if you wish for something reasonable, you want the little girl in town who's dying of tuberculosis to be cured. You want just some hint of which NPC to trust. You want to cure the vampirism that's setting in your own character because you got bit by a vampire.
Is it bad that everything he's saying here, I keep thinking about ways I could screw over players if they made that wish?
That's why. Well, because the Ring yeah. of Wishes is a tool
designed to screw
people. I've
never screwed over a player
yeah,
with a Ring of Wish. I want to.
You haven't yet.
Maybe there'll be a Ring of Wish in Blood Moon Bards.
There you go.
But, you know, I can look at something like that where it brought me to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can look at things like romance, where my revulsion to it kept me from allowing some kind of stupid and immature things, but eventually matured into something mm-hmm. better. I can look
but at... But you still had to put that caveat on it.
Yes.
There couldn't be, because... And that's cool, because the dog bit you a couple of times. You're
well,
just not going to...
I don't
didn't
think...
That did not happen.
I don't think this is true in all things in life, but I think with the vast majority of things in life, the truth is somewhere in the middle. The right way mm-hmm. to handle it is going to be somewhere in the middle. Let's look at romance. What we were doing when we were playing our ridiculous, immature stupidness was not a good way to game.
No.
But us playing characters that were absolutely not just asexual, but also romantically completely disinclined. These aren't believable people.
Right. They were
yeah.
androids.
Yeah.
Well, and that was something I was bringing up. And nobody realized it in the group until I brought it up. Everyone was talking about it at the time. And they're like, you know. Yeah, because I've had really bad experiences with it.
And
right.
yeah. Here's something, though, where I think I would put a little bit...
And then Pat plays Monster Hearts.
...of the onus back on the person with the baggage is if somebody comes to a group and says, hey, I've got gamer baggage. Okay, we're not talking real life baggage here, yeah. all right? We're not...
My parents beat me.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, exactly. If you really were abused, then abuse in the game is probably not going to be something that should be covered at all. Okay, that different subject. I'm talking about...
My parents were killed by a horde of orcs.
I want to hear this story.
I know.
I'm going to do it in a game to offend you, just because I want to hear you rage about it.
I don't know, man. It's pretty personal.
But the point being that talk to somebody who's got gamer baggage, whether a game master, player, whatever. I think there is some onus on that person to at least be open to it and say, look, hey, I've had problems X, Y, Z in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone in that group says, give me a chance.
Yeah.
Chad, let's say you came to me, mm-hmm. and we were past this problem, but let's say you came to me.
I've come to you so many times.
Oh, I know.
Off the wall.
But you came to me, let's say, in the middle of this when I really had the issue with people playing genders outside of their own. And you can...
I did come to you.
Yes, precisely. Yes. And you said, I want to play a female. The original one you came to me with actually was a teenage girl who was a stowaway in a sci-fi game.
That's right.
And you came to me and said, I want to play a female character. And at first I was like, my impulse was,
no.
Hell no. But then it was like, okay, we have to move past this.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the things I want to hear. Tell me this character is not going to be some caricatured Amazon slut, whatever. And when we got to...
I just pictured him in like a bikini with a... I don't... It was terrible. It was anyway.
Hot, wasn't it?
But it is really kind of on people to try and get past that. For example, Wayne and Sarah, your characters being in a relationship. I've seen that go really wrong in the past. I will say off the top of my head, I cannot recall any game where I've had two people in a relationship who wanted their characters to be in a relationship, and it also went well. But a lot of my friends, most of my friends, are either in very long-term relationships or married. Would I really be prepared to say if, let's say, I was running a game for Wayne and Sarah and they said, we want our characters to be in a romantic relationship, I think there would be some onus on me here to say to them, okay, I don't want to see this, this, and this occur, but is it really fair of me to say you guys cannot do that? I mean, Tex and I, we played a game where we played brothers.
And the characters,
yes.
And the characters can become so much deeper with that aspect involved.
Well, because you can play off each other a little better.
Yeah.
You feel more connected.
It's great. I mean, it's actually really cute because it's the old married couple playing the old married couple.
Yeah.
Right.
It's funny to watch.
The thing is, it's not, there's a lot of stereotypes about married people when they're, when people are playing games and they're not married. The two characters aren't always together. They don't always agree. They don't always disagree.
Just like in real life.
Yeah.
Beth really loved the idea I had for a magical item. Our wedding rings are rings of protection, but they only work if we're within 30 feet of each other.
Oh, that's cute.
That was her reaction, too.
I would have had them be rings of command once per day.
That's mean.
No, but you can use it. Exactly. It's like, honey, clean.
Mop the floor.
Mop. Yes, exactly. And it's like, you must make a willpower save. It's like, no, I'm watching football.
Well, and in my group, and this is universal.
Or rings of augury. Who's right?
In our group, our bag is universal. We've been burned by min-maxers, like really bad. And so it took me a long time once the people that did do it in our group don't really come around anymore. And once they've left, I still create these characters. Like every single character I have in D&D takes the initiative bonus so that I can go before them so I can at least get a hit on something. It doesn't matter. It could be a freaking wizard and I have an initiative bonus. I'm still trying to get over it.
I always take that for a different
realized,
reason.
I just realized I have that baggage for a different reason. The first bard I made was mechanically useless.
Yeah.
And I've had that problem in other games. So I know Pathfinder. I know it very well.
Mm-hmm.
When I make a character, even if I'm making a backstory, I mechanically now make it very powerful.
Right. I do the same
thing. I have a wizard at level 4. My saves are 17. And I didn't even realize I did it until after when we were playing and everyone's trying to roll to get out of web and Chad was getting ready to die. I realized I min-maxed the hell out of myself because my baggage made me not want to be weak.
Right, because then you're just sitting in the corner not doing anything while everybody else is rolling away. And you're like, I don't know. My first game experience was that way. Everybody else had been playing this game forever. And I'm coming in new gamer. And they're like, we're all powerful. So, and I'm like, I'm shit.
Oh, I know the feeling.
So I think the two bits of advice that I would give out of this is, first off, to recognize what your bits of baggage are. And maybe even to recognize them in other people. And certainly it's... being humans, it's usually easier to do B than A. But then secondly would be to do what I just said a moment ago, which is if you can find somebody who can handle it maturely, to be open to saying, just because I've been with a bunch of bad situations in the past does not mean that that's the way it's always got to be. Is there any advice you guys would add on top of that for identifying, dealing with anything related to game baggage?
If something's stopping you from doing something... anything, you need to look real hard at it, because I don't think people should be prisoners to concepts.
Yeah.
You know, there are very good reasons to not do things. But it takes away freedom. It chains you to things, having this baggage.
And we never told stories with romance for years because of that big a baggage.
And it's killed any romance that is possible between us, Dan.
I know. Oh. It has. I know. Any award-winning romance.
No two men won any.
Thankfully, it didn't kill any of the physical interactions between them. But there's no romance involved.
Guess what you don't understand.
I would say
along those lines, Chad, if there's anything where your immediate reaction is no on, and you can stop and think, why am I saying no?
Yeah.
If the answer is because bad experience in the past, that shouldn't be enough of a reason.
No, it shouldn't.
It should
be a reason to rebel against
it. It's not something
that.
To discount. I don't think you necessarily have to completely rebel against it. But
we got the baggage for a reason.
I jumped into a campfire face first in the past and hurt a lot. Well, you know what?
Maybe the fire isn't as hot this time.
Yeah. I'm not going to let that chain me. Here I go.
And I think
it's something you can learn from without just saying no.
Right.
And I think it's a big portion of communication, too. If you're halfway through a game and all of a sudden, you know, we'll use Chad, like you have a romance with an NPC. Dan's character. Okay.
Yes.
And you're ticking somebody off, that person needs to communicate it.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can scale back something that's making them uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden, the baggage won't happen because everything gets resolved. And it's just, you know, you just have to be comfortable with who you're playing with.
And also in gaming, it's even if a character is annoying someone, some people, it's hard to tell if it's annoying their character or themselves.
Yeah. Right.
Because for some people, there's not that separation.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we even had an episode about that where Pat and I had our sort of come to Jesus moment where he has a hard time drawing the line. He gets so into his character.
Pat and I are very similar in that regard, where I have a thin line between myself and my characters. And I'll admit, it's a thin line. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure Pat has any line at all. And I'm not bagging on Pat.
No,
he'll tell you.
Really gets into his character.
Whereas, like,
it's
Chad,
awesome.
You have a thicker line, and John has a DMZ.
I have a huge line on my. A lot of times, I will love an NPC, and my character will hate them, and my character will interact and hate with them, or another character. Mm-hmm. I may love the other character and think it's wonderful. And I love that my character fights with that character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have learned that not everyone can tell that difference.
Some people just don't like conflict. Maybe that's the baggage.
But everybody does like fear thee, comma.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
That was
a powerful transition right there with the comma misplaced and everything.
I think you just dropped the transmission on the car.
Yep, I did. But... You should come to Fear the Con, but that aside, let me do this in a more proper fashion with a somewhat better transition.
Are you going
to
sing? Because I hear you have a musical game.
I do have a musical game.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I know. So I do. Well, Julie, I have a question for you about that, but I'll ask you off mic. But what I do want to say on mic is I want you guys, that's your Fear the Boot homework, is to think about the baggage that you have as either as a game master, as a player, and think about ways that you could move past that, you know, and actually turn that into something constructive and look at all the kinds of stories you may simply not be allowing yourself to tell or to be part of because of that baggage you have. Or maybe it's throwing yourself into a campfire and this really is just a bad idea and the baggage is there for a really good reason. Beyond that, I do hope you guys will sign up for Fear the Con. We'd really love to see you guys out there. And as always, I wish you the best of week and the best of games. And we will catch you guys next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2014. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.